I bet they never expected this. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Good to be back after a long weekend. We had to run rerun yesterday just because schedules got messed up, but right now everything seems to be fine.
Well, our schedules were messed up because we were out of town for a few days this weekend, and we're trying to recuperate and had other things that had to happen on the Sabbath. But we're back, and we're recording Monday evening during this lovely snowfall throughout most of the state of Ohio for Tuesday. But we thought we would dig in the archives a little bit and come up with a couple of things to chat about today. Of course, one that Chuck and I both got a chuckle out of, is one that came up from an article from Breitbart.com that was all reposted at American Vision News, our friends down at American Vision, and it's entitled, Karl Rove Launches PAC to Marginalize Tea Party Candidates. Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Karl Rove, the architect of George Bush's presidential campaigns, both of them, is supposedly the mastermind behind the throne, whose organization American Crossroads played a very pivotal role in last year's presidential elections with Mitt Romney, which, by the way, I think they lost, is now deciding that they're going to try to get some skin in the game in United States Senate races. Why, Chuck? Other than the fact that Karl Rove needs to find something in order to make a paycheck.
Well, why the Senate? Well, first of all, the Senate is currently run by Democrats.
That's true.
For one thing. The second thing is that the Senate has a different character than the House of Representatives. And it has that because there are only two per state. Now, most states have more than one congressman. There are a few that have only one, and most of them are out west. Mm-hmm. But that being said, you can control a lot of things if you control the Senate.
Yes, you can.
It's much more difficult to control things in the House. You never know what you're going to get when things come out of the House. But in the Senate, you can do a number of things, especially having to do with the ratification of treaties.
That is absolutely correct.
The Senate, because of its original design characteristic, it was designed to be the voice of the states in the federal government. And, of course, that has been destroyed by the 17th Amendment, which basically turned senators over to being elected democratically rather than chosen by state legislatures. And that has been a horrible miscalculation. Now, try and get it turned back, and people will come unglued, especially progressives. You'll always find progressives coming unglued. Because what has happened is that senators no longer represent the government of the state. They now go nationally and internationally to collect money for campaigns. And that being said, you may have a senator from New York who collects money from people on the West Coast.
And usually does.
And so who is he representing? He is representing the interests of Hollywood and California and Western interests, not the interests of New York.
Well, he's still representing some of the interests of New York, but he's just not solely focused on the needs of his state constituency. And Chuck, this is another reason why we now have U.S. Senate campaigns that are $30, $40, $50, $100 million campaigns.
Exactly.
Because when you have that kind of influx of money in a winner-take-all state election for your U.S. Senate seat, one that the vast majority of folks, except for those in our listening audience who are being schooled in the Constitution, don't even know much about or know why their U.S. senator is important, but they know that every couple of years, or, well, depending on how their cycle is, either every 2 years for a couple of cycles and then skipping a cycle and going back because they're elected on six-year terms, that they have to vote for that slot. And, well, so-and-so must be doing a good job, you know, or I like the cut to so-and-so's jib, so I'm going to vote for him. What that does is that makes money the most important thing for a U.S. Senate candidate because you have to reach all those voters. You have to be able to spin your TV in all the major markets. And let's not kid ourselves, TV's not cheap. You're talking about ads that may be $1, $2, $3, $5 million worth of ad placements on a single TV station. And you got to do that. And I know in Ohio, there's seven major media markets that you have to cover. So when guys like Josh Mandel, who was running against Sherrod Brown, and Sherrod Brown, who was running this last cycle, when they were out there, you know, if you took a look at their campaign finance numbers, you're seeing investments from Florida and Texas and Illinois and Colorado and California and Washington State and Oregon and New York and, I mean, all over the place. As a matter of fact, there probably wasn't a state that either one of them didn't raise some form of money in.
And that happens in every Senate race in every state in the country.
That's right.
And that is the exact opposite of the whole reason why everybody decided we had to go to popular election of senators was to make it a more local thing.
I don't think that worked out so well for
them. It didn't work out at all, because in the old days, the way it worked was if you wanted to be senator, you did your campaigning in the state house.
That's right. You went and you talked to or worked with, or you were a state legislator who got moved up to Senate because the legislature decided, well, hey, you've been here working for a long time. We need to get you to represent our interest in Washington, D.C.
Well, think about the Lincoln-Douglas debates.
Yes.
They weren't debating to get the popular vote.
No, they were not.
They were debating to get people to hound their state representatives to choose them to go to the United States Senate.
That's right.
That's why, and you did get things like that. People would go around and stump speech to get that kind of thing. Now, you'll see guys like Sherrod Brown welcoming in, oh gosh, if you remember when Tim Hagan ran for governor, who'd he bring in? He brought in, first of all, he's married to the woman who played
Kate Mulgrew, who played Captain Janeway
on Star Trek. And she brought in her buddies.
From Hollywood.
And the same thing happens in the Senate. Brown brought in a lot of people that Josh Mandel just simply wasn't able to get a handle on. Now, he had other celebrity types from different aspects, more from business, more from the business angle than from the Hollywood angle. But the fact is that they all now pander to you while collecting money from these guys, and they know that if they do something wiggy in their first 2 years, you won't remember it on the sixth year when they're running for re-election. So it's a great idea for Rove to go out there and target the Senate, because if he can get his quote-unquote conservatives, and these people aren't conservatives at all, they're moderates, which really means liberals.
Well, and we're going to talk about that in more detail here in a minute.
But this is a great place for him to target.
Absolutely. He's calling it the Conservative Victory Project. You're going to be hearing more about that, I'm sure, because it'll be vilified by the mouthpieces for the left, and it will be trumpeted as the most wonderful thing since sliced bread by the mouthpieces for the Republican. But this is their entire reason for being. They are going to recruit seasoned candidates and protect Senate incumbents from challenges by liberals? No, far-right conservatives and Tea Party enthusiasts who Republican leaders worry could complicate the party's effort to win control of the Senate. Complicate, like maybe keeping the liberals out of the Senate.
Yes. Well, let's define far right. What do they mean by far right? That's anybody who pays any attention at all to the United States Constitution.
Yeah, I believe that would probably be one of them. Probably also far right would be anybody who is a
small government
guy. Anybody who believes that the Federal Reserve is an illegitimate banking cartel.
Right.
Anybody who believes that the best way to reform immigration is to round up and deport those who are here illegally because they've broken the law already. I could go on and on. Those who believe that life should be protected from conception forward, because this really, Chuck, is the reason why Karl Rove is doing this. Republican leadership in the Senate and at the national level are having a cow over the insurgent campaigns of Todd Akin and Richard Murdoch in Indiana.
Yeah.
Two men whom, if the party hadn't have drawn the long knives out immediately when there was a gaffe in their campaigns and basically all but eviscerated them themselves, they would have two more United States Senate seats.
Oh, absolutely
today.
They would have. And that's exactly what happened. The minute that some minor quote-unquote mistake was made, the Republican leadership came out and just eviscerated their own candidates. You would never, 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 ever see this happen on the left side. Those guys, look, Joe Biden is infamous for saying stupid things. No one ever called him on it during the campaign. He just came out with one this week in which he mixed up Portugal and Poland. Well, those two places are, if you look on a map, not only are they culturally very different, they're geographically very different, and they are in different, way different places in the EU.
No, wait a minute, Chuck. They're on the other side of the globe from the United States, yes. So therefore they're the same, okay?
They're over there in Europe someplace. The old joke about, if you've ever watched Radio Days, Woody Allen's Radio Days, where the little kids steal the money for that they're collecting for the Jewish National Fund, and one of the kids says, Palestine, that's way over there in Egypt someplace.
Well, although I appreciate that movie reference, I have a shocking admission to make. I refuse to watch Woody Allen movies.
It's a funny movie, but I know what you're saying.
I just can't quite stand Woody Allen. Just like I just can't quite stand Karl Rove.
Yes.
it's a similar
personality
distaste.
Types,
it's a similar
yes.
Distaste. But the point is that American Crossroads, which is the Uber pack slash media monster that Karl Rove and certain other large donors to the GOP put together in order to try to steer, first, the nomination of Mitt Romney, which they were successful at, and secondly, to steer Mitt Romney supposedly into the White House, which they failed miserably at, has decided that they know better who the people should choose to be their United States senator. Now, I'll give, because I can hear some of our naysayers saying out there, well, you know, guys, you know, this whole thing about the legislature, wouldn't Karl Rove just have a much better time of just going in and handing money off to the state legislative leaders in order to get who they want in there? Well, not necessarily, because one of the things you got to deal with is these legislative leaders have to know that this person is going to represent the interests of the state, not put them in a quandary, and they'd also have the, well, unenviable task, I suppose, of when the guy goes off the reservation, of yanking him, which happened significantly before the 17th Amendment was passed.
Oh, absolutely.
If a U.S. senator decided he was going to vote against the interest of his home state, he wasn't the United States senator for that state much longer. That happened numerous times.
Over the national bank crisis, a number of Southern senators were recalled. In fact, at one point, somewhere around half the senators who jumped ship on their state legislators and voted for the renewal of the national bank were simply recalled. Fine, you lose your job. And that's the way it was done. And there was no whining. Some people didn't like the fact that people they'd bought and paid for in industry and in banking, who the people they had bought and paid for, were suddenly no longer available for their use. But that's the exact reason why that system was set up that way, to keep the big money interests from getting involved in owning those candidates. And in fact, now we just made it worse.
Well, yes, absolutely. Well, but right now you've got Karl Rove, who's the figurehead behind the whole thing, and Stephen Law, who's the president of American Crossroads, forming this new conservative victory project. Now, folks, the whole thing is the victory will be when they run out all the conservatives. That's the whole goal, because basically, as the New York Times reported, Mr. Law said, we're concerned about Steve King, who's the Republican representative from Iowa, who's planning on running for Senate next year. Now, you think about it. He's a sitting congressman. He's been there for a number of terms. He's going to run for the Senate. Now, Chuck, wouldn't you think that the Republican Party would think, we may not have to spend a whole bunch of money because he's already got a lot of voter ID. He's well-liked because they keep reelecting him. This should be okay. Oh, no. Law says we're concerned about Steve King's Todd Akin problem. In other words, he's too pro-life for them.
Yes, he's too pro-life. And he's probably not far enough into the giving federal bribes to big business in the form of tax abatements, corporate welfare, that kind of thing. That's another case why Rove and Company would come out and oppose a candidate.
Sure.
That's another Tea Party ideal, no more corporate welfare.
If you want to get an idea of how they're going to play this, they call it candidate discipline. It was what you saw during the Romney campaign, where he came out and he would say one thing one day, and then he would turn around and backtrack and say something else the other. He would stay away from issues like, oh, Obamacare, because
yep.
He couldn't talk on it. And you never quite got a good feel for where he was on the pro-life issue until ads came out from Republican sources supporting his rape and incest exception.
Yes, exactly. As we ran on our program during the campaign. Well, Barry, I'm looking at the clock. We are out of time.
And I believe that I'm out of patience
yes.
with Karl Rove and his ilk.
So any of you who thought George W. Bush was a conservative, look at the people who are behind him and ask yourself if he really was a conservative. And I think you'll have to agree that the answer was, in light of his record and in light of the people behind him, no. So that being the case, join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.